Day. I really appreciate it. Tomorrow, we're going to have Rule Walker on the show, who is with the Pachamama Alliance. So we'll be learning a lot about what that organization is doing for bringing indigenous peoples and their words about the Amazon and rainforest and all of that. And so we'll be hearing about that. So stay tuned tomorrow. Thank you for today, and please stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
We need to keep the pressure up, but also make clear there is a path for negotiation.
National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley on the bottom line on the new National Intelligence Estimate on Iran and the dangers of its nuclear weapons program. The report says Iran put the program on hold in 2003 because of international sanctions pressure.
We do not have sufficient intelligence to judge confidently whether Tehran is willing to maintain the halt of its nuclear weapons program indefinitely.
Experts have said if Iran does end its nuclear program, it must be clear and open to ongoing monitoring. On the CBS Evening News tonight, Richard Haass at the Council on Foreign Relations.
I think what you'll see is continued diplomatic work, but less emphasis on military threats. And the bottom line is this is unlikely to be resolved one way or another while Mr. Bush is still president.
Nazi-like inhumanity found in a trench in Iraq in a former stronghold of al-Qaeda in the desert between Anbar and Salahuddin provinces, 60 miles northwest of Baghdad. 100 bodies discovered so far in a mass grave. 12 more today as U.S. and Iraqi forensics experts wear masks to pick through decomposing bodies looking for clues to identities. One of those found, a U.S. paramedic missing for 18 months. Winter winds and rain blasted ashore in Washington and Oregon at 70 miles an hour and more in the last day, a system that has dropped flooding, mudsliding rains.
We don't see any kind of relief on the rain until at least late tonight. Flooding problems are likely to continue until at least Thursday.
Rob Harper at Washington State Emergency Office. On the other side of the nation, in New England, heavy snow may be a tough deal for drivers and those who must plow or shovel, but there are some.
This is white gold. This is pennies from heaven.
Like Christopher Francis at Ye Olde England Inn near Stowe, Vermont, where skiing is the thing this time of year. At least 17 people died in that storm, mostly due to traffic accidents. Family and friends said a final goodbye today as the funeral for Washington Redskins safety Sean Taylor, who was tragically killed in what police say was an armed robbery at his home in Florida. Stay married and save the planet. An ecologist at Michigan State University says divorce is bad for the environment. When families split up, they nearly double their consumption of natural resources, when you think about it.
The construction material and also energy to build the houses.
Zhang Guo Lu says split families means two houses, two heating bills, and so on. Full houses, he says, are a lot more efficient. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 57 points today to close at 13,314. The Nasdaq was down nearly 24. Oil prices, $89.31 a barrel, up 60 cents. This is CBS News.
Hi, folks. I'm Peyton Manning, inviting you to experience the Sony High Definition difference for yourself. To demonstrate how experiencing something makes a difference, I've asked Steve to give me a hand.
Hello.
Steve here thinks that
I have a weak arm.
Really? All right. So, Steve, take a few steps back.
Sure.
Ready?
Are we going to practice?
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
It's important to experience something. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
And right now, through December 8th, you can save up to $700 on the combined purchase of a qualifying Sony Bravia LCD large screen HD TV and a Sony Bravia IS-10 5.1 channel surround sound home theater system. Now you can experience sound as incredible as an HD picture. The Bravia Theater Microsystem surrounds you with rich sound from five elegant yet powerful golf ball-sized speakers. To learn how you can save up to $700, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/hdna.
word to the wise, while honey from bees may not be good for an infant, after that, it's better than most medicines at relieving a cough.
Worried about those kids' cough medicines drug companies sell? Many parents are because of recent safety concerns. In the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine, Penn State pediatrician Ian Paul reports that honey, given before bedtime, is more effective than the common cough medicine ingredient dextromethorphan. Why hasn't grandma's remedy been pushed by doctors before?
There hadn't been any evidence supporting its use, and I'm hoping now that physicians will have an alternative.
Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
Wildlife experts are hunting an elephant near Kathmandu. Raja Gaj is missing. He's believed to be the world's largest Asian elephant, standing more than 10 feet tall at his shoulders. He left his habitat in southwestern Nepal, and no one's seen him for nearly a year. Thing is, he can go pretty much wherever he wishes. The wildlife experts are worried the poachers may have gotten him. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts, so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Say you're driving to a business meeting without a TomTom GPS and you want to avoid traffic. You could drive with your ear glued to the speaker waiting anxiously for the traffic report that seems impossibly choreographed to come at the precise moment it's already too late, while hoping and praying that the world's worst traffic doesn't suddenly jump out to greet you at each and every turn. Or you could use a TomTom. With real-time traffic updates, all you have to do is drive while your TomTom GPS device takes you there the fastest way possible. TomTom. Go confidently.
B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco today. I had a great time Friday in Eureka, and I want to thank all the folks who turned out at the Eureka Theater, our hosts, Dan and Tia Marie there at the Eureka Theater, and of course KGOE, our great affiliate, and all those fine listeners in Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. Thanks for coming out for the live broadcast and staying for Roy Zimmerman's soiree on the stage. It was a lot of fun. Back in the saddle here in our secret studio. Later this hour, we'll be joined by Anthony LaPay and Dan Goldman. Anthony's a fascinating young man who I've talked with several times over the last few years. In fact, he was the journalist who first reported to me the serious problems caused by America's use of depleted uranium in the current invasion of Iraq. We used it as well in Desert Storm, but this time it was hardly necessary, and it has produced a legacy there, a radioactive legacy that we will be dealing with for generations to come. Anthony LaPay is an independent journalist who has been to Iraq, and it formed the basis of his book, True Lies, and there was a film companion to that. And so I'm looking forward to talking with him again. And his colleague Dan Goldman is the artist who did all the fabulous artwork on this new graphic novel called Shooting War. We'll tell you all about it coming up in about half an hour. Also on today's program, John Eisenberg is a Bay Area attorney who is representing a group of plaintiffs who say they have proof that they were spied upon, wiretapped by the NSA's program, and thus they have standing to sue in federal court. They're still alive with the case, and Attorney Eisenberg will join us in our second hour today to give us an update on that. And then lots to talk about in the free speech zone today. New reports of lovers of Larry Craig. You'll be shocked that Mr. Wide Stance denies it all. And also, a new national intelligence estimate says Iran has no nuclear weapons program. Well, we better attack immediately, right? That's up for grabs here today, some of the things we'll be talking about here on the Peter B. Collins Show. But to kick things off, we turn to Jameson Foser. JMO is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. Their website, mediamatters.org. Hello, JMO.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. And you?
Well, Peter, if I could jump in, I can actually barely hear you. So if there's a way we can tweak the connection a little bit, that might help.
All right. I can see what the problem is right here. And let's see if that's better.
That's much better.
We still had some things set up for our live broadcast on Friday. And so thank you for pointing that out. Don't ever be shy if you can't hear me or if there's a lady saying, please hang up and dial again. Sometimes that happens. So, JMO, I wanted to take a look at your column, which is up at MediaMatters.org, and which reviews the performance of CNN in presidential debates, most recently the Republican YouTube debate that was originated from Florida last week. And you start off by taking serious issue with Jonathan Klein, an executive at CNN, who has made a few admissions about, oh, gosh, we could have done that a little bit better, and the general who asked the question about gays in the military shouldn't have been permitted on. There's a lot of, I guess it was Thursday morning quarterbacking, going on after the YouTube debate. But where I'd like to start off is that I am just deeply offended by the manner in which CNN solicited questions from the public and then selected them in a manner that showed an incredible bias and a lack of commitment to giving us the information we need about presidential candidates. It's insulting. It is dumbed down. And CNN is claiming that by using, you know, production values and the humorous, animated submissions that they got from people, that this is one of the highest rated debates in history. And frankly, I don't care about the ratings. I think that this is a fundamental service of the Fourth Estate and that they're not doing their job.
Well, what CNN's handling of these two YouTube debates has shown has been a pretty clear double standard on their part of how they deal with the two political parties. They've now hosted two of these. The first was back in, I believe, July, and it was a Democratic debate. And then last week they hosted this Republican YouTube debate. And back in July there were a couple questions that they chose for the Democratic debate that seemed to come from a pretty conservative perspective. One of them was a gentleman asking the candidates to tell him if they're elected president, if his taxes will go up like his taxes always go up when a Democrat is elected president. There were a couple others. So at the time, nobody said much about that. The candidates answered the questions and went about their business. We at Media Matters didn't criticize the inclusion of that question, though it's a pretty slanted one. So about a week ago, in advance of the Republican debate, a CNN executive went out of his way to announce that as they were screening the questions, they were weeding out any questions that might be seen as coming from a Democratic perspective. They were weeding out questions about entire topics like gay marriage, which actually had been asked about several times in the Democratic debate. But also he went out of his way to say that anything that looked like it might be a Democratic gotcha, they were cutting. They wouldn't include anything like that. So, and this was a couple days before the Republican debate. So we at that point pointed out that they hadn't applied the same standard to the Democratic debate. And some others talked about that as well, and CNN kind of denied that there was a double standard, but they didn't explain how that wasn't a double standard. It's a pretty clear double standard there. So when the Republican debate actually came around, it turns out that a few of the questions they selected, two or three, were submitted by people who support Democratic candidates, including one who's actually on the steering committee of one of the Democratic candidates. So CNN's reaction from there was really interesting. They actually edited out of their rebroadcast an entire question and answer.
Really?
And didn't tell anybody that they were doing it, didn't make any notation during the broadcast that they had removed this question and answer. It was a question that was asked by a 43-year veteran who asked about gays in the military. And they edited it out apparently because this gentleman serves on a steering committee for Hillary Clinton. There's been no indication from CNN or any other parts that I've seen that the actual content of the question had any problem. They just didn't like the person who was asking it.
Now, isn't that, at minimum, an offset for having Grover Norquist, who is hardly a private citizen, who was permitted to come on? He wasn't actually in the bathtub where he wants to drown the government, but he was permitted to come on and try to require all of the candidates to take a no new taxes pledge. Now, that really violates the basic premise of the citizen contributions to the YouTube debate.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the general is a citizen. The fact that he is aligned with Senator Clinton, probably should have been disclosed, but I don't think it disqualifies the question, and nor do I believe that it should have been edited out of the replay.
Right. Once it actually happened, it's actually the editing out of the replay that I think is the most disturbing. This event happened. These candidates were asked this question in a public forum. They had all answered it, and CNN just disappeared this as though it never happened. They didn't say they'd edited it out. They made no indication that they'd made a cut. That's not the work of a news organization. That's something you expect out of a propaganda outfit for the Republican Party. They're just making cuts here and there to remove anything that they think might be awkward or embarrassing for the Republican candidates. That's horribly irresponsible and just isn't journalism. And it's worth focusing on what exactly CNN thought was so problematic here. This is just a 43-year veteran asking a question of these Republican candidates, and CNN and many conservative commentators and reporters and news outlets that were screaming about this all late last week all apparently agree that the Republican candidates shouldn't be subjected to the indignity of being questioned by a 43-year military veteran. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, I agree. Now, one of the other things you point out in the column is very important. It's about Campbell Brown, the newest hire at CNN. And I've noticed her orientation. She comes across as a Republican who asks questions that are either biased or indicate her kind of orientation. You point out that she's married to a top Republican strategist, Dan Senior.
Right. This is another pretty clear double standard on CNN's part. But CNN has two contributors, James Carville and Paul Begala, who are Democratic strategists and who both support Hillary Clinton. And CNN has said that they, whenever they're talking about the Clintons or the presidential race, should disclose their support for her. I agree with that. Of course they should. I don't think it's a surprise to most people that James Carville supports the Clintons. That's why we know who he is. But he should disclose that. But there's been no similar requirement for Campbell Brown, who's married to Dan Senior, who's an advisor to Mitt Romney, who was a senior advisor to the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. He was the Bush administration's spokesperson in Baghdad. And he has also served as a consultant to a group called Vets for Freedom. That's a conservative group that was formed to support the Iraq War. So Campbell Brown has not yet disclosed this relationship, even as she goes on television and refers to anti-war voters as the angry far left, even as she referred to Move On as American insurgents and explicitly compared them to the insurgents in Iraq who kill our troops, she hasn't disclosed this tie to Dan Senior. I think that Campbell Brown should be judged on primarily on the content of what she says on air and not based on who she's married to. I don't think she should be pulled off this beat, like at the LA Times, Ron Brownstein was pulled off the news beat because he's married to John McCain's communications director. I think that's probably going a little bit too far, but the disclosure is key. And if Campbell Brown is going to make these comments, the viewers have a right to know that she's married to a guy who's a consultant for a group that says exactly this kind of thing, that led the attack on Move On 2 months ago.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very important disclosure, and you tip us off in this column that CNN is going to promote Campbell Brown to anchor. She'll be anchoring her own news report starting in February.
She has a primetime news show beginning in February. I'm not exactly sure what the content of it is going to be, but they've announced that much.
Mm-hmm.
She actually played a role in that in the last Democratic debate on CNN a couple weeks ago. It was her first day at CNN, and she was one of the questioners. And so that would have been a perfect opportunity for CNN or Campbell Brown to say, just for the record, Campbell Brown's married to this top Republican strategist,
yeah.
But they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she hosted a little special last week about negative ads, in which, again, she referred to Move On as insurgents and explicitly linked them to the insurgents in Iraq. That That wouldn't be appropriate, just for the record. It wouldn't be okay for her to say that if she had disclosed her marriage to Dan Senior, but at least people would have been able to assess her comments with that additional information.
Well, and those pillow talking points, they get handed from husband to wife and then show up in the media. Somehow people should know the origins of that. We're going to take a break and return with Jameson Jamo Foser from MediaMatters.org. If you have a question or comment, you can call us now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Let me welcome you, Planet Cruise.
It's the all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour at the Quumba Jazz Center this Friday, December 7th. I'm your humble host, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
We'll have comedian Andrew Norelli.
Don't turn the lights on. I was going to take her home.
The Planetoids, the Great Morgani, and Ukulele Dick.
Hi, Ukulele Dick!
Peter B. Collins. Dr. Rupert Opie, Phil the Security Guard, the Eclectic Company, the Outpatient Players with Simone Cox and sound effect master Sven Davis.
They let the players out!
Ron Wilson, the Planetoid Band, all comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. Karen Babbitt. That's Friday, December 7th at the Columba. Be sure and buy your tickets early. That's at Gateway's Books, Streetlight Records.
Ooh, save $5.
That's Friday, December 7th, 8 o'clock at the Columba.
I got a ticket. I can walk in.
You, the Planet Crew.
You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626 and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 394-5117.
We'll be right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Jameson J-Mo Foser from Media Matters for America. They monitor the corporate media and offer a kind of a truth website to explain the divergence between what they tell us and where the truth actually lies. And J-Mo, I've got a clip loaded here from Fox News Sunday. And Karl Rove has been saying some astounding things, suggesting expansive revisions of recent history. Just last week, he told some Republican crowds that he and Bush did not want Congress to pass the authorization to use military force that was used to justify the invasion of Iraq in the fall of 2002, particularly before the midterm elections. It offended him. The idea that, you know, those elections would be used to jam through such a sensitive piece of foreign policy. And it's just 100% contradiction of the facts. And now he goes on Fox News Sunday and says, quote, "I'm confident the Republican candidates are going to have enough money to make enough damage out of this record to make gains in the Congress." Let's listen here to a little bit of his softball exchange with Chris Wallace.
Let me show you another set of polls if we have. The president's job approval is now down to 36%. But Congress's is even lower, as you can see there, 26%. So, and let me start with you, Mr. Rubin. You can respond to this and that. Which is a bigger burden, Mr. Bush for the Republicans or the Democratic Congress for the Democrats?
Well, the Democratic Congress will be on the ballot. President Bush won't be. And look, they've got momentum. I grant you that. They have momentum that went from very high ratings immediately after the 2000 elections to that record low number today. And it's because they have proposed big taxes, big spending, have failed to support our troops in the war, are undermining our intelligence collection efforts, have shut the Republicans out of any meaningful discussions to move the country ahead, as they had promised to do during the campaign, and have demonstrated an utter lack of fiscal responsibility by recommending $205 billion in additional spending over the next 4 years, and two of the biggest tax increases in American history. The repeal of the Bush tax cuts, which is over $1 trillion in tax increases, and then a tax reform plan from the Ways and Means Committee chairman, which is $1 trillion in additional taxes. That's why they have gone from very high to very low. That momentum is going in the wrong way. Now, you may have more money than the Democratic than the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee today, but the RNC has more money than the DNC, and let's see where the individual candidates are when it really matters next September or October.
Wow. J-Mo, did you hear anything in there that was actually true?
No. No, and what's incredible is Karl Rove is making these rosy predictions for the Republicans, and Chris Wallace, it's actually not incredible because this is Fox after all, but Chris Wallace didn't ask him, hey, Karl, just last fall, you were mocking people who said the Democrats were going to do well and said that according to the math, that was your phrase, the math, this very arrogant proclamation from Karl Rove, Republicans would hold the House and Senate. Didn't work out very well. Why should anybody listen to you now?
It was fuzzy math, and it led to a thumping.
It did. Nor did Wallace ask about Karl Rove saying in 2000 that that Bush would win comfortably both the popular and electoral vote.
Uh-huh.
That obviously didn't happen. His track record on predictions is very, very wrong. Whether he's saying these things because he believes them and thus shouldn't be listened to because he doesn't know what he's talking about, or whether he's saying these things because he's just lying and spinning, either way, nobody should take him particularly seriously, and Chris Wallace shouldn't have just sat there and let him spew on like that.
Yeah. And did he mention what I referenced, the recent revisionism of 2002?
No, that's another great example. Rove made this claim that they didn't want that vote to happen then, which is contradicted by President Bush's own public videotaped statements in the fall of 2002. Rove is simply lying now, and this is, by the way, a real failing of our news media. There have been a lot of news reports about this that report something like Rove's claim was contested, or it's in doubt, or some people disagree. No, he's lying. There is videotaped evidence of President Bush in 2002, before Election Day, urging Congress to vote on this.
Mm-hmm.
Rove is simply lying. Andy Card, who was chief of staff at the time, and Ari Fleischer, who was White House press secretary, have both said Rove's not right. So the news shouldn't be reporting this, and newspapers and television news shouldn't be reporting this as some sort of conflict. They should be saying quite clearly, Rove is lying.
And also in the Fox file there at Media Matters, there's an important story about a commercial that was planned by the Center for Constitutional Rights to point out the rollback in constitutional rights, and Fox News Channel has refused to run that ad. Read all about it at MediaMatters.org. JMO, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Peter. Take care.
That's Jameson Foser from MediaMatters.org. Anthony LePay and Dan Goldman join me next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the new deep-heating Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion from Home Medics, the leaders in massage innovation. Check it out online at homemedics.com. Available at retailers everywhere. I'm Charles Osgood. The Department of Homeland Security has created a new high-level position called Executive Director of State and Local Coordination. And the job is going to former Sheriff Jim Pendergraf of Charlotte, North Carolina. He starts today, and you'll meet him after this. There's a new Home Medics Therapist Select Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion now, with a new deep heating massage mechanism that travels up and down your back and feels even more like the hands of a skilled Shiatsu therapist, delivering penetrating relief from tension, muscle pain, and fatigue. What a gift to be able to give someone the stress-melting benefit of Shiatsu massage on demand without the expense of visiting a massage therapist or only one of those big pricey chairs. This works with any chair, any time, all year long. I've got one at home, one at the office, and I'm giving several more to family and friends this Christmas. The new Home Medic Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion is truly state-of-the-art. So good, the SBM has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. I love it, and you'll love it too. The new deep-heating Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion from Home Medics, the leader in massage innovation. Creating products with your health, well-being, and budget in mind. Check it out online at homemedics.com. Available at retailers everywhere. Few immigrants who are nabbed are actually deported because most are released and given a court date that they never show up for. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts asked Jim Pendergraf about that.
Don't you feel like just one more pane of glass in that revolving door of people who leave the country, they come back in, they leave again?
This problem is so big, the federal government can't handle this alone. There has to be a partnership with the state and locals to attack this problem.
Even in Charlotte, there are some on the police force who don't think they should be looking for illegal immigrants. Officer Danielle Williams thinks it's counterproductive and makes it harder for them to do what they want to do.
What we want to do to help the members of our communities and make sure they're safe. And we can't do that without victims reporting crime, which they're not going to do if every time we go out to a crime scene we're asking them their immigration status.
You have colleagues, sheriffs across the country, who don't support this program. They say it's not their job to enforce immigration laws.
There are some that think that this puts a chilling effect on the ability to extract information from your immigrant community about criminal activities.
Conservative estimates 12 million illegal immigrants in this country. You can't arrest all of them.
I think it's twice that.
Okay, then you can't arrest, arrest 24 million.
But they didn't get here overnight either. They have entered this country over a period of many, many years, and it's going to take many years to resolve this issue, and we're not going to solve it overnight.
Using your words, not mine, can a country boy from North Carolina go to Washington and make a difference?
This country boy is going to try.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Wherever you are, however you're listening, I'm delighted you're there. Otherwise, I'd just be a bald guy talking to myself. Joining me now at our secret studio, the low-tech special Peter B. Collins studio, is Anthony LaPay and Dan Goldman. Their new book is called Shooting War. Anthony, Dan, welcome.
Hey, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Now, Dan, I'm not hearing a thing out of you. I think there's a switch on that microphone just on the top of it there. And let's see if that'll activate
it. Oh, is it the one that says on and off?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome.
Beautiful.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome. Now, you're the artist guy, right?
Yes, I am.
The artist still known as Dan Goldman.
In fact, yes.
All right. How did you meet this guy, LaPay? He's dangerous. Do you know that?
He put an ad on Craigslist in New York, and I went to see his documentary film, Battleground.
Sure.
And we just hit it off. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, you guys put together Shooting War as an online graphic novel. And, Anthony, it just was popular probably beyond your expectations.
It was, you know, ironically, after 15 years of being a journalist, dodging bullets, you know, investigating evil corporations, it's been a comic book that's probably been my biggest hit. But as you'll see, I like to think it's a comic book that has something to say. Yeah, we launched it. Dan and I, after we hooked up via Craigslist, we launched it as a serialized biweekly webcomic.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew up. I mean, it was incredible. We had everyone from Rolling Stone to The Village Voice on down writing about us. And that's it. We sold the book to Warner Books, which now is Grand Central Publishing. Same guys do the Jon Stewart and the Colbert book.
Right.
And it's their first graphic novel. And it's been really exciting. People have been really, I think it's kind of something new. If you look at it, it's hard. You have to really kind of see it, you know, to pick it up.
Yeah.
But Dan does all of his art digitally. And we really tried to do something that really kind of took comics to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Now, help an aging hipster like me. I've got an iPod, but not an iPhone. I do get text messages, but I don't send them. And you can see I've got computers, and I'm not uncomfortable. But, you know, I acknowledge that this is not aimed at my age group. What is the appeal of the graphic novel, the comic book? I'm glad to hear you use that term, because I thought, oh, he'll be offended if I call this a comic.
A lot of people are real cagey about calling it a comic,
and
they're, you know, kind of, well, in this graphic novel style. I'm doing a lot of interviews lately, and people do that. And I have to assure everybody, give them a little pat on the head, a comic is not a dirty word. So what do we think the appeal is? I think it's pretty broad, actually. Part of the appeal of the art looking the way it does is that it brings in people that are into films and video games and magazine illustration, and not just the kind of nostalgic history of comics, which, you know, of course I love and pay, you know, a huge debt and love for. But I think that it appeals to a broader swath of readers. And then the story itself is, you know, the sort of thing that I think has a huge and broad appeal.
Mm-hmm. So the story is set in 2011, and Jimmy is this blogger, journalist, out-of-control kind of guy with a fondness for Jack Daniels.
Yes, Jimmy Burns, our hero, is a 25-year-old, cocky, young, anti-corporate blogger who thinks he's got it all figured out. One day he's doing a live video blog from in front of a Starbucks about how all these big corporations are destroying his neighborhood, and a suicide bomber blows up the Starbucks, and he's the only one who has the footage. A new news network called Global News hijacks his footage, and he becomes a sort of overnight media superstar. He gets called into the Global News executive offices, and they make him an offer he can't refuse, which is to go be a war correspondent in Baghdad. Mm-hmm. He ends up in Baghdad. His greatest dream to be a war correspondent quickly becomes his worst nightmare as he becomes a pawn in a kind of cat and mouse game between a crazy Christian commando of a special forces lieutenant colonel who's tasked with tracking down Abu Abdallah, who is the leader of this kind of post bin Laden jihadist movement, mm-hmm. a sort of Che Guevara, if you will, of the new jihad movement.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, you told me before we went on the air that you guys have gotten kicked back by some far left folks who think this a little too bleak. What was bleak for me is that it's 2011 and Bill O'Reilly is still on the air.
That's such a damn shame right now. It's unbelievable.
And the Starbucks incident, he blames Jimmy.
Right.
He said, well, to get that footage, Jimmy must have been in on the conspiracy there.
Yeah, we inject, not only do we use a lot of photorealism in photo sources that then Dan does his digital art on top of to kind of give it a hyper-real feel. Mm-hmm. I also have brought in a lot of real media celebrities. And when Jimmy Burns gets to Baghdad, and he's kind of in too deep, he's able to hook up with a still vibrant Dan Rather, who becomes a sort of Obi-Wan Kenobi-like mentor for Dan. He's over there still working for Mark Cuban, still trying to resurrect his career.
Mm-hmm. And there's still a New York Post in 2011. Can't you guys give us a little rosier sense of the future?
Look at the price tag on the New York Post.
A dollar.
Yeah. And Larry King is still alive, yeah.
Just on the New York Post, during the break you can look, but over on the corkboard above Katrina there is the issue of the New York Post proclaiming that John Kerry had selected Dick Gephardt as his vice president.
Yeah.
It's a collector's item.
Yeah, it's not quite the paragon of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And
Larry King's still alive?
He's looking good. So I think he's married his eighth wife.
Uh-huh.
So what we try to do is really paint this sort of day after tomorrow. What's going to be happening in Iraq? How is the media going to be treating the global war on terror? And most importantly, the central conflict is really about this young kid, a blogger who is trying to keep true to his ideals, faced with the fact that he's basically become part of the monster that he once loathed so much.
And as you project a few years forward, Dan, where do you see the blogosphere? Does it displace the corporate media? Does it become an equivalent?
I think it's already proving to be a kind of feeding ground. Mm-hmm. And a proving ground. So I think that there's going to be a lot of push and pull between the two. I think that once the blogosphere and the electronic stuff is more of a moneymaker than the more traditional media, I think eventually it'll replace it. But for the time being, I think that they're going to try to be as parasitic as possible for as long as possible, mm-hmm. try to pull as much content and talent from it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you look at what it's all, like 90% of everything that happens in the news business these days, it's all an economic decision. And what you see, the relationship between the networks and, so-called citizen journalists is really just networks going, oh, hey, we can get someone to shoot that hurricane for free and upload it. We don't have to pay a cameraman or pay any rights for this footage. So it's really just kind of an exploitative thing right now. I don't think they really take it seriously as a real movement. But I think as we've seen with the rise of the bloggers with an importance on the text end of the web, video blogging and video bloggers sort of replacing or at least augmenting the network news's control over how people see the news, I think, is going to really rise. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I look at in Shooting War is that it actually it's very difficult to be a war correspondent. Jimmy Burns, when he gets there, finds that he, both professionally and more importantly emotionally, is ill-equipped to deal with the harsh reality of covering what is now the most dangerous war of the modern era for a journalist. More journalists have been killed in Baghdad.
And was that informed by your experiences, I would presume?
Yeah, well, I was there doing this film that you've been a great supporter of, Battleground, 21 Days on the Empire's Edge, for Showtime, which which is now, you can see it on Netflix and Blockbuster, et cetera. And
I want to recommend it to people. I want to talk about it more in depth in the next segment, but it's a powerful film that must, I believe, must be seen.
Yeah, so, you know, I'd never forget when I was standing in the Sunni Triangle interviewing a lieutenant colonel by the name of Nate Sassaman, and he turned to Stephen Marshall, my partner, and I, and he said, "My life is a surreal movie. Every day I wake up and it's just completely surreal." And this was this super tough guy who had been the quarterback at West Point and was known as being, you know, this hard-assed lieutenant colonel. And I just, it was like this moment of self-reflection and humanity in him. And he just realized he had no idea what he was doing. And I realized that this war was such a tragedy, but it really was, it's really one of the greatest farces of our the modern era. And the same way, you know, I like to think, you know, I was informed by Dr. Strangelove, you know, captured the absurdity of the Cold War. When people watch and they see Dr. Strangelove raising up his arm and talking about surviving thermonuclear war, I mean, Edmund Teller did believe we could survive a thermonuclear war. There were anti-communists who thought that they were trying to poison our drinking water with fluoride. You know, it wasn't that crazy in the same sense that some of the characters that you see are kind of over the top in Shooting War, but you know, there is it's just an absolutely absurd situation that we've got ourselves into.
That's Anthony LaPay, co-author of Shooting War, and the other guy is Dan Goldman, who did the artwork. Now, Dan, have you been to Iraq, and were your graphics, your artwork, influenced by that?
Oh, they're definitely influenced, but I have not been there.
Uh-huh.
I looked at a huge amount of documentary footage and photography. I read some memoirs and a lot of articles to just get myself there as much as possible. But for me, my whole experience of Baghdad was seen through a computer monitor in Brooklyn.
Interesting. And as you bring these characters to life, give me an idea of how you collaborated with Anthony, because of course he knows some of the real people that I imagine these are based or loosely based on. And I'm just wondering, in the process, how did he convey to you, this is the kind of guy who had a pack of cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve of his T-shirt at all times, or would whip out a nude picture of his girlfriend. I mean,
right. Well, Anthony, when we first started working together, he asked me if I wanted him to write the scripts in sort of a comic book format, where you break everything down into panels and pages, or in a screenplay format. And I asked him what he was more comfortable in, and he said screenplay. So basically, what I've done is taken the Shooting War screenplay and adapted it as a graphic novel, which is fine for me because it gives me a little more control over the pacing, and I can choose the shots and choose how to break up the action as however I please. So that said, when we would get together, I'd go over the script, and then we'd break it down into pages and panels, and I'd talk about any logistical questions or if there were extra details that would help flesh things out that I wasn't necessarily hip to. We got our groove on pretty quick, and it was that was basically the long and the short of it. I would make these chicken scratch scribbles, that if you lay side by side with the finished art are pretty much exactly the same, in terms of blocking out the story and figuring out how it works. And then from there, it would be a combination of drawing and painting and graphic design and collage work that create, the art that is effectively carrying the same story as the chicken scratch scribbles.
And then when we get into the dialogue, Anthony, how much of this is informed by your real-life work in Iraq? I don't believe you were ever embedded, but you...
Yeah, we were embedded.
Oh, you were embedded.
Yeah. It's sort of a mix of every sort of... It's almost a culmination of everything I've done in journalism and in writing. There actually are lines from Battleground in there. Like, for instance, the Lieutenant Colonel Sassaman is sort of loosely informs the Lieutenant Colonel Crash in Shooting War. At one point, Stephen and I were in a tactical meeting in outside of Baghdad, and he talked about he said to his boss, the colonel, all right, it's primetime holy war. We're going in. Mm-hmm. So I was just such a crazy line for somebody to be saying. And so I incorporated lines like that. It's the funniest thing is people have been saying, well, this guy is way too over the top. No one would ever say primetime holy war. You know, so politically incorrect. I'm like, if you only knew. I mean, watch the film. So then a lot of it is just, you know, and then it's just all kind of stuff right off the top of my head. A lot of it. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff you're reading right now of the battlefield stuff is actually I had a friend of mine who's an infantry lieutenant who helped me with a lot of the realism about this tactical stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's really a mix. And then, but you know, I work inside the belly of the beast for news agencies and I have friends who work inside the news business as well. So it's kind of a mix of all these different influences.
Yeah. Here's a quote, of course, in a, what do you call that, a bubble?
Like a word balloon?
Yeah, a word balloon. Yeah. We have a chatty Haji who says he's got intel on Lieutenant McCain. I called him in. He checks out. The first ID I have been using. Oh, that's the first.
Yeah, the first ID. Yeah,
okay. I've been using him for 6 months. And as you all know, saving little Private Ryan is DOD priority one. So stand by for a new objective and new route. Six over.
That's a little subplot of the film is McCain is president in 2011 and his son gets kidnapped. So there's a sort of ongoing thing about them trying to pull a, you know, saving Private Ryan to get back Lieutenant McCain.
Very interesting. We're going to take a break and return with Anthony LaPay and Dan Goldman, their new graphic novel. It's a fabulous comic and a hardcover book. Is called Shooting War, and it's out on bookshelves right now, and it is published by Grand Central Publishing. And if you go to the website, gnn.tv, you can see some of the segments of this.
It's actually on shootingwar.com.
It's shootingwar.com.
It's linked from GNN as well.
Okay, great. And it'll give you an idea of the rich graphics here and the storyline, and it's a fascinating piece. We'll continue in just a moment. You got a question or comment, bring it on now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreath.
Call us at 685-1626 and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on at 7 minutes in front of the hour. My guests are Anthony LaPay and Dan Goldman. This powerful new graphic novel called Shooting War is on the desk. In fact, it's on the table where I keep impeachment here at the Peter B. Collins Studios. And you are appearing tonight in San Francisco at Booksmith. Anthony, tell us a little bit about the event.
Booksmith on Haight is an amazing, great bookstore on Haight Street. And Dan and I have a whole kind of multimedia presentation where we take people in and give the whole backstory of how we created the book, but and a lot of some of the visual influences that I brought in. But also Dan actually even pulls back the layers and shows how he builds these incredible photorealistic montages and digitally.
And how do you do that? For a radio audience, you can't show us, but give us a quick...
Well, in a nutshell, I go from the aforementioned chicken scratch sketches, you know, stick figures and whatnot, and then from there I take a digital camera and actually act and inhabit a lot of the characters. From there I will render the line art for, you know, all of the major elements, any kind of, you know, like Humvees and soldiers and whatnot, bring that...
Up-armored Humvees.
Up-armored Humvees, yes.
In 2011, they actually got the armor.
Right. And then I'll color everything, add shadows and definition, and then particle effects, bring in any photographic elements for backgrounds or for architecture. Then I relight the entire art so that everything looks like a consistent reality, and then add graphic design elements and then probably light it again just for safety.
Well, really impressive. Let's take some phone calls here. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hey, Dave, it was great to see you on Friday.
It certainly was. Very good to have you up here. And Anthony and Dan, does your story allow you to address the legitimacy, the purpose, the intent of this ongoing occupation, huh?
Well, it's a good question. Thanks for the call. It actually, you know, one of the things that it doesn't do, it doesn't get into the bigger questions of why we're there, because it's really a story about what's happening on the ground, and it's sort of actually a commentary in some ways on that, in that when you're on the ground in Iraq, nobody really knows why they're there. I mean, that's one of the farcical elements of this whole war, is that everyone on the ground, no one knows why we're there, and no one really wants to be there. So conflict between the reality and the perception is part of what the story is all about.
Mm-hmm. Now, John McCain is president in 2011 in this future look at that you depict here. And did he get there on the strength of his support for Bush and the so-called surge?
Well, you know, this book was written a year ago, obviously before the presidential campaign really kicked off. And I picked McCain. Some of the things that I talk about or I sort of predict in the book are sort of real kind of projections about what's actually going to be happening on the ground in 2011. Others I sort of did for more literary devices, if you will. Mm-hmm. McCain, for me, is just an interesting character as a character. He's just a guy who's lived an intense life, and he's, you know, kind of one step away from just flying completely off the handle, you know. But he also, you know, I just like the metaphor of this Vietnam veteran being stuck in Iraq and not being able to get out. And I also, as I said, we bring in this subplot of his son being kidnapped and the pressures, the emotional pressures on him, knowing that his son is being held captive like he was and tortured. Mm-hmm. It's just a sort of Shakespearean element to it that I liked.
And how do you react to his current standing? The Manchester Union leader in New Hampshire has endorsed him, but he's running third.
I'm surprised he's even running third at this point. I mean, he's the guy is the worst campaigner in the history of presidential campaigns.
But he's given a straight talk.
Yeah,
he seems like he can't take his feet out of his mouth.
Yeah, I mean McCain for everything that he's done on campaign finance, et cetera. I mean, fundamentally, he's a militarist and it believes the central lie of this whole war, which is that there's somehow a military solution to the problem.
And he's a geezer con. He's not a neocon.
Yeah.
He's a real solid conservative on every issue that a progressive would care about.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, he's been there.
Check it out, shootingwar.com. And next time you're in a bookstore, pick it up, Shooting War. It's a comic book, but a hardcover graphic novel with terrific visuals, a great storyline, and a whole lot of reality in a fictional setting. Anthony LaPay and Dan Goldman will stay with us in the next hour, and we'll talk about issues related to Iraq and the occupation, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that, you know, you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A new and very different intelligence estimate of Iran's nuclear ambitions.
The estimate offers grounds for hope that the problem can be solved diplomatically.
The president demands congressional action.
It's unconscionable to deny funds to our troops in harm's way.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's a stunning development. For years, the United States and other countries have warned that Iran was intent on building nuclear weapons. Sanctions have been imposed, and there's been talk of preemptive military action. But a new U.S. intelligence estimate made public today says the Iranians halted their nuclear weapons program back in 2003. White House National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley is cautious.
We have good reason to continue to be concerned about Iran developing a nuclear weapon, even after this most recent national intelligence estimate.
But he says that raises hope that the issue can be resolved without the use of force. More on the new intelligence from CBS News national security correspondent David Martin.
It does not mean that Iran has abandoned its nuclear weapons program. It just means it's halted work on its nuclear weapons program. And Iran is continuing to enrich uranium, but as of now, the judgment is that they halted the work on weapons in the fall of 2003, and as of the middle of this year, they had not resumed it.
Joseph Cerencion, Director for National Nuclear Policy at the Center for American Progress, says we have to keep pressure on Iran.
We don't know for sure what their intentions are. What we do know is that they're steadily acquiring the technologies. And if we want to stop them from acquiring their technologies, we've got to put together, as the report says, a policy of carrots and sticks.
Now this.
If your dog is healthy, I recommend you try Dynavite just to maintain your animal's health.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
There's enzymes in there, flax oil, omega-3s. It only took about a week, and her energy level increased dramatically.
We're on her third 5-pound tail, so I highly recommend it.
She loves Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Congress, back in Washington from a two-week Thanksgiving recess, has just 3 weeks to finish its work for the year. First and foremost, President Bush wants action on war funding.
Instead of listening to the judgment of General Petraeus, they are threatening to withhold money he needs unless they can mandate an arbitrary date of withdrawal.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democrats say President Bush should stop the scare tactics and try to work out differences on Iraq and the budget. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says in his political career he's never dealt with someone as unreasonable and stubborn as President Bush.
No negotiation, no change of course, no cooperation whatsoever.
He says the president's just flat wrong in warning troops in Iraq are running out of money, saying there's plenty already budgeted to last until March. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The president will keep the heat on with a news conference tomorrow morning. He also wants action to spare millions more Americans from the alternative minimum tax. A Miami sports arena served as a church today. Thousands gathered for a final tribute to football star Sean Taylor, fatally shot last week by intruders in his home. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell noted that these deaths have become all too common.
Just in the NFL, we have lost four young men, all tragic, all 24 years old, all in the last year.
Of Taylor, Goodell said he loved football and football loved him back. Hurricane force wind and torrential rain are battering the Northwest for a second day. Rob Harper is spokesman for Washington's Emergency Management Agency.
We don't see any kind of relief on the rain until at least late tonight. Flooding problems are likely to continue until at least Thursday.
Tens of thousands have lost power. Hikers and homeowners stranded by mudslides and flooding have had to be rescued by helicopter. At least two people have drowned. A winter storm in the Northeast slickened roads today, but Vermont innkeeper Christopher Francis isn't complaining.
This is white gold. This is pennies from heaven.
The mountains are getting up to 20 inches of snow. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, folks. I'm Peyton Manning, inviting you to experience the Sony High Definition difference for yourself. To demonstrate how experiencing something makes a difference, I've asked Steve to give me a hand.
Hello.
Steve here thinks that
I have a weak arm.
Really? All right. So, Steve, take a few steps back.
Sure.
Ready?
Are we going to practice?
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
It's important to experience something. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
And right now, through December 8th, you can save up to $700 on the combined purchase of a qualifying Sony Bravia LCD large screen HD TV and a Sony Bravia IS-10 5.1 channel surround sound home theater system. Now you can experience sound as incredible as an HD picture. The Bravia Theater Microsystem surrounds you with rich sound from five elegant yet powerful golf ball-sized speakers. To learn how you can save up to $700, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
Oh yeah, it's time.
It's time to go home, to take our boys away.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we've held over our guests from the preceding hour, Anthony LaPay and Dan Goldman. The new graphic novel, Shooting War, is right here on the desk in front of me. Go to shootingwar.com, and you can see some samples for yourself. The Baltimore Sun called it a shot across the bow of the blog generation. And what did Forbes call it?
Forbes.com just called it the apocalypse now of the war on terrorism.
Has anybody talked to Coppola about that?
Well, you know, we actually there's a lot of interest, actually, in doing a film.
Yeah?
So it's been exciting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, what's the most exciting reaction you've gotten so far or picked up on?
Well, it hasn't been so much in the press as much as it's been person to person for me.
Mm-hmm.
I liked very much talking to people who had never read a comic before and had no idea that it could take them, they could create or tell this sort of story or take them to such a place.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really exciting for me.
Yeah. And are you reaching people who get their news from Jon Stewart?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really, I would say, our biggest target audience. But it's been interesting, you know, when we were in the UK, this is also out in Britain, they had us on Sky News, you know, Murdoch's news network,
yeah.
And I've been on two times since then. They've invited me back. It's sort of like Jimmy Burns coming to life. Excuse me.
Sure.
So the response has been incredible. I mean, the Financial Times, probably one of the, you know, more conservative papers mm-hmm. around and respected, called the ferocious satire. So it's been humbling and exciting, the response, not just in the comic press. We got picked on the Best of the Year in Comic Journal, which is a really snobby comic geek journal. But everything on down from GQ magazine to Penthouse to NPR to
Now, Anthony, I think you know this, but I credit you and your film Battleground and your book True Lies with really giving me the depth of information about depleted uranium and the way the U.S. used it in this conflict. And I cite it repeatedly, and I give you credit for really exposing this insidious weapon that we have used that will last for generations and leave a negative legacy of the U.S. occupation that in some ways, makes Abu Ghraib seem like, pick your awful metaphor, a walk in the park. Is there a DU theme in this new book?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, DU, for giving me that credit. I mean, DU is one of those really, really important stories that just has not been covered in the American press. It's incredible. If you go to the BBC website, there's whole sections on it in the BBC. The Canadian press has covered it because a lot of Canadian soldiers have become sick, and it's become, you know, widely acknowledged that depleted uranium weapons have made them sick. So like a lot of things, what I tried to do in Shooting War, it is a satire. It's a comic book. It's hopefully funny. But I also tried to inject a lot of things that I really care about in my reporting. So there is a sort of DU element, an incident where a soldier is exposed to depleted uranium in the book. And I tried to get that in there, like a lot of other kind of subversive things in the book. People who, you know, people aren't listening to, who don't listen to you and probably don't even watch the Daily Show, but who, for instance, may be comic fanatics and just pick this book up mm-hmm. are going to be exposed to some of these issues.
Now, given the history that once we learned about Agent Orange, the corporate media in this country did cover it following the Vietnam War. Why is it that Gulf War syndrome and subsequently the impact of depleted uranium on our own troops? Now, I don't want to be, myopic about this, but when we talk about what drives the media, self-interest and pandering to the interests of the consumers in America are usually what drives the cycle. And yet there's almost a virtual blackout on coverage of depleted uranium. And again, narrowly, just the impact on our own troops who have been exposed to it. That must frustrate you a great deal, given how much you've reported on this and how much you care about it.
Yeah, I don't have any one answer on why that's the case. I think you're absolutely right. That is the case. It's one of these things that it's kind of mind-boggling that it's not covered more. I think if you look at the way a lot of medical excuse me, a lot of medical stories are covered. They're driven by cures or pharmaceutical solutions. And the problem with depleted uranium is there is no cure. Once you have these radioactive alpha particle isotopes inside your body, there's no real way to get them out. It's a really a bleak story, just like Agent Orange. I mean, Agent Orange is an ongoing issue today. There are people who are babies being born in Vietnam and also in Cambodia and Laos who have, you know, with deformities from a legacy of Agent Orange contamination. And our friends at Monsanto Company Corporation, you know, have never really taken responsibility. There's an ongoing lawsuits now on Agent Orange that are still Monsanto is still trying to be held accountable, as well as the U.S. government. but that's also part of the problem is the reason they haven't been held accountable for Agent Orange is because the U.S. military, under military code, cannot be held responsible legally for doing anything, basically. I mean, there is literally a get-out-of-jail-free card. The soldiers, once they become soldiers, cannot sue for basically any reason. So that has prevented these cases to come about concerning Agent Orange, but also with depleted uranium.
And I've seen one documentary about the impact on returning American service members, and what shows up is birth defects in children that they sire. How have they managed to keep that out of the news?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of these. As I said, it's also a very, it's such a bleak and depressing story that just really undermines our whole notion of what the military is supposed to be for. Mm-hmm. You know, theoretically, it's supposed to be protecting us and not poisoning the people who are actually fighting. But I don't know. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me, and I'm glad to hear that you're carrying the torch and continuing to talk about it, because soldiers definitely appreciate it, and the soldiers who are affected been affected by it appreciate it. I mean, and this is a critique that I write more about in True Lies, a book I wrote co-authored with Stephen Marshall, is that there is a problem from coming from the left on this as well, is that there's a lot of sort of fuzzy science and irresponsible kind of fear-mongering that is coming from the more radical left people who legitimately, whose heart, I believe, is in the right place, who are trying to raise the flag, but make claims like there's been this more deplete, you know, radiation dropped in Iraq than were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and, you know, kind of do some really kind of fuzzy math with it. It's a huge health problem, and it's going to be a huge ongoing health problem. There's been absolutely no remediation done. There's been no steps done. As you see, if you watch Battleground, Stephen Marshall and I very dramatically take a Geiger counter into a tank graveyard. It's not just a tank graveyard, a graveyard of all these vehicles that have been blown up in the shock and awe invasion.
Yeah, it looks like a front yard in Kentucky.
Right, and they exactly. And they're
only it's military vehicles.
Yeah, and, you know, double-decker buses. I mean, it was the most apocalyptic scene. I mean, literally square miles of this stuff. But it's right in the middle of Baghdad, or sort of in the outskirts, but right in the middle of a neighborhood. There's no, I mean, they could at least put up one sign that says, "Do not enter. Dangerous stuff." I mean, there's absolutely nothing. And there's guys in there, and this is the really scary part, there were guys in there taking this radioactive stuff. This is kicking off our just, you know, fairly cheap Geiger counter. It's not the most sensitive thing in the world.
And your Geiger counter was at 900%, right?
Yeah, it was above background radiation levels. I mean, it was going off the hook at certain points. Mm-hmm. And then there are guys in there breaking up this basically for scrap metal and taking it back and selling it on the markets for who knows what kind of fabrication, using this radioactive material for people to use in their household, for their pipe fittings, for their cars, who knows.
Where, for example, the 9/11 truth movement is often dismissed because of the most crackpot claims that are mixed in with the very serious and credible claims and questions that continue to be asked.
Exactly.
And so this becomes a technique where when the issue is brought up, the people who are defending against it go for the most ridiculous assertion that has been made, use that to smear the whole range of issues that have been raised, and then just say, see, just a bunch of lunatic.
Train entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
All right, well, it is that time for traffic, and happy Monday to you, at least Monday afternoon. It's almost over with. Not a whole lot going on, just a couple problems. Santa Clara County, Highway 152, westbound Casa de Fruta. It's a solo spin-out on the right shoulder, and CHP is on the scene. Then in Monterey, northbound 1 after Highway 218, we do have a two-vehicle fender bender. It is off to the right-hand shoulder as well. And I can also tell you the CHP unit is on scene. Eastbound 25, maybe a little bit of pocket to slow and go from Gilroy to Hollister. Southbound 1 looking good from Monterey into Carmel at this point. Well, over 35 million Americans live with hunger. Many live in our country's largest cities. Please support City Harvest and help feed America's hungry. Visit cityharvest.org for more information. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Anthony LaPay and Dan Goldman, their new graphic novel. It's a fancy comic book called Shooting War, is out in bookstores. They're in San Francisco tonight at Booksmith on Haight. And Anthony and Dan, I wanted to ask you about a post that I found at GNN.TV, which is your home base at the Guerrilla News Network. And this is a fascinating piece that I have seen nowhere else. I did see the original story. It's called The Massacre That Wasn't. And it replays events that occurred recently where it was reported that five gunmen had entered a house and they shot two of this journalist's sisters, their husband, seven children. And now it turns out on further investigation, the story doesn't hold up in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, this is reported by a good buddy of mine, Gert van Langerdonk, who's a credible Belgian war correspondent, who actually I met in Baghdad mm-hmm. the first day I was there. He was sitting at a computer writing a story as we walked in the hotel. this story is really just a really good example of just how murky what goes on a day-to-day basis is and how little we really know mm-hmm. About sort of the casualty counts, about who was fighting whom. This was a case of a local, basically politically motivated Iraqi so-called journalist who basically fabricated a story to make his political enemies look bad. But it's sort of indicative of a larger thing that's going on the ground in Iraq, and sort of what I get at in Shooting War is that it's so dangerous there, and there's so much chaos and anarchy, and there's so much death that Western journalists in particular really are very constrained. They really cannot. My friend David Enders just got back recently, and you know he was. You cannot operate without an armed militia literally following you around, protecting you.
So, do you believe what we're hearing, that the surge is working, that fewer Americans are dying, and more importantly, that fewer Iraqis are dying?
Well,
because I'm highly suspicious of the lull that we're seeing right now, and I take no pleasure in saying that I don't believe these numbers. That I think it's worse, but I think that they're being massaged and managed. The Maliki government has made it clear that they're trying to clamp down on the data. And one more point, the Pentagon and the Bush administration would never acknowledge how many Iraqis were killed until it came time when Petraeus came to Washington and they wanted to try to prove the surge is working and that fewer Iraqis are dying.
Well, I think it's a good point. I mean, listen, obviously neither of these governments have any credibility, but I think it's true. It seems to be there is a lull in the horrendous violence. It doesn't. I don't know. You know, if you ask really the people who are on the ground, the reporters that I know, you know, they'll tell you what that actually means is yet to be seen. A lot of it is because a lot of these neighborhoods have basically been successfully ethnically cleansed, so there's no one left to kill. So yeah, there's not 100 people dying every day and showing up in ditches, but then there's only 20 or 30. So that's it's a major drop in the level of mass killings.
Mm-hmm.
But whether that means the huge conflicts are over, and this whole surge strategy, which essentially I actually make a joke in Shooting War a year ago, I was writing this and I was trying to make a sort of joke about it, was that, you know, President McCain, I write, launches a de-Shiification program of the army, and he brings back what he calls euphemistically the secular nationalists, who are essentially just reconstituted Baathists. I wrote that as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, you know, Bill Maher used to joke, we need to bring back Saddam Hussein. Well, look what the surge is all about in the Anbar province. It's about teaming up with these so-called Sunni moderates, which are essentially just the local warlord sheikhs, who a lot of them are like Abu Raza, the guy that they just blew up.
Right.
That guy was just a common criminal who was running guns and murdering people. And had no real power.
Yeah.
So it's really, the whole thing is a facade.
Anthony LaPay, great to see you again. Dan Goldman, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks for your work, and thanks for the book, Shooting War. I'm going to enjoy this.
Peter B., thank you so much.
All right, we'll talk again. Coming up next, attorney John Eisenberg joins us. He's representing me and other Americans against the National Security Administration, and they've got standing. We'll talk about their law case coming up next on the PBC show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Challengers may be closer than they appear. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The Iowa caucuses are January 3rd, and both parties are looking at dead heats at the top, according to the polls. But the big news is on the Republican side, where Mike Huckabee, despite modest finances, has a 29-24 lead over Mitt Romney. The challengers can't get too cozy with those figures because the New Hampshire primary happens 5 days later, and the same poll that has Huckabee ahead in Iowa has him at only 14% in New Hampshire. But Iowa is shaking things up. It's got Hillary poking at the Obama legend, and it's forcing Mitt Romney to give his What is a Mormon speech. By the way, I'm guessing Mormonism will turn out to be as American as a home run in summer and as welcoming as a fresh apple pie on the windowsill of an Iowa farmhouse. But if the challengers do survive New Hampshire, stand back. Because that's when we'll see not just what they're made of, but what the front-runners are made of. Remember in 2000, when John McCain shocked front-runner George Bush by winning in New Hampshire? The Bush campaign reacted by sliming McCain in South Carolina in what turned out to be a foreshadowing of what he'd do to his critics as president. So, if Huckabee and Obama survive past that first week, watch how the front-runners react. Watch for unsigned emails and robocalls in the night. Campaigns always say that the dirty tricks are merely the irrational exuberance of underlings. But those underlings tend to be the very people who, come January 20th, have their desks closest to the Oval Office. Now this.
Get the good stuff!
Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is critical. Sludge buildup inside your engine can reduce power, increase fuel usage, even contribute to premature engine failure. Castrol GTX has patented anti-sludge technology and offers unsurpassed protection against viscosity and thermal breakdown. And right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX conventional motor oil for just $2.29 a quart. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, which is subject to monitoring by Benny at the NSA, the National Security Agency. He monitors us for quality control and politically incorrect commentary. Last week on this program, we spoke with Mark Klein. He worked at AT&T in San Francisco and is the whistleblower who helped you and me learn that our government had illegally authorized the intercept of massive amounts of telephone calls, internet communications, and also, he pointed out, web-based phone calls. So if you use Skype or one of the other Vonage services and you think that that is not subject to intercept by the NSA, don't be so sure. And I was really impressed with Mark Klein. He is a courageous American who went public with this information, testified before Congress, and he is clearly opposed to granting amnesty to the phone companies for their collusion with the Bush administration. On a separate front, attorney John Eisenberg is pursuing a case against the NSA, and he appeared on our program a couple of months ago. Welcome back, John Eisenberg.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to talk with you. And first of all, if you could, for listeners who didn't hear you the first time, if you could summarize basically the facts of the case and the reason why your clients have standing before the federal court of District Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco.
Well, my case is a little bit different from the AT&T case, which has been filed on behalf of all AT&T customers. In my case, the plaintiffs are an Islamic charity based in Oregon, and it's two lawyers based in Washington, D.C., who were actual victims of the president's warrantless electronic surveillance program. which gives them standing to sue for specific instances of warrantless wiretapping. Mm-hmm. The reason why they know that is that during legal proceedings a few years ago, the government accidentally gave the charity's lawyers a copy of a top-secret document which indicates that they were, in fact, surveilled under the program.
Mm-hmm. And more recently, you had a hearing. I believe this was before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they took a look at the government's claim that your case should be dismissed because of the so-called state secret privilege.
Yes, the government took the position when we were before the district judge last year that the entire lawsuit should be dismissed because for two reasons. First, the program itself is a secret. And secondly, the document that we were given access to that proves our client's standing is a state secret. The judge in the case in Oregon did an unusual thing. He agreed that the document is secret, but he said that we, the lawyers in the case, would be permitted to describe the document as we remembered it, in secret affidavits filed with the court in order to demonstrate our standing. And the government appealed that decision to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit ruled November 16th. The court said the program itself obviously is not a secret. The whole world knows about it now.
Yeah.
That was the easy part. The court also said, however, that the document is a secret. It's classified top secret, and it would be a backdoor, that's the words they use, a backdoor through the state secret's privilege if we were allowed to use our memories of it.
And let me just push the quote a little further. A backdoor around the privilege and would eviscerate the state secret itself.
Yes. So what they said is, if the document is a secret, our memories of it are a secret. So I guess a small little portion of my brain remains classified top secret, sensitive, compartmented information.
You're going to have to give it up. When, in fact, we're sending some Homeland Security agents to retrieve it right now.
If there's a way for it to be done, I'm sure they will do it. Perhaps I should wear the aluminum foil hat for the next few months.
Yes, that would be a good safety measure.
Now, the news is not all bad. Although the Ninth Circuit said we cannot use our memories of the document to prove standing, the court also said there's another issue in the case. Whether or not the state secret's privilege applies at all. We had argued as our lead issue in the district court last year that the state secret's privilege does not apply in litigation under FISA, that's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Right.
But rather, there's a provision in FISA that provides for use of secret information in confidence under certain procedures whereby we can, for example, submit the document to the court under secret conditions. It isn't released to the public, but the court can use it to determine our client's standing. So our argument was, never mind the state secret's privilege, FISA applies here. It replaces the state secret's privilege in litigation like ours under the FISA statutes. The district court judge said, I'm not going to get to that issue because I've got the solution that I think is going to work, using your memories of the document. The Court of Appeals said that solution doesn't work. We are also not going to yet decide whether or not FISA replaces the state secret's privilege. We're going to send the case back to the district court judge to decide that issue. And now that district court judge is not Judge King in Portland, but Judge Von Walker in San Francisco, where the case has been transferred.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nutshell, we actually feel pretty good about this decision because we get to go back to the district court and litigate the issue that we thought was always the lead issue. Do we get to use this document under the provisions of FISA, never mind the state secret's privilege, in order to demonstrate our standing?
We're talking with Attorney John Eisenberg from here in the San Francisco Bay Area. As you've heard, he is an attorney representing an Islamic charity, and they had proof
that some of the people involved with this were subjected to illegal wiretapping by our government. And these are the issues that are being litigated and that we're discussing here today. If you have a question or comment, you can call us right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. Now, John, we have a few minutes here, and so if I could ask you to shift into law professor mode, could you first of all explain to our listeners the basis for the claim of a state secret privilege? I'm not an attorney, but as it's been explained to me, it is not based on a statute.
That is correct. The privilege goes back to 52, I believe, a United States Supreme Court case called United States versus Reynolds, where the survivors of a military plane crash, the civilian survivors of the victims, people who died in a military plane crash, sued the government for negligence. The government claimed that the lawsuit shouldn't go forward because documents that the plaintiffs wanted, consisting of reports on the accident, contained top secret information. And the U.S. Supreme Court held that when the government says that the lawsuit would threaten national security by revealing top secret information, the courts should defer considerably to the government's assertion of this danger. And if there's any danger to national security, throw the lawsuit out. And so this rule has come to be known as the state secrets privilege. It originated in this decision in 1952, and it's been invoked several dozen times since then. The ironic thing was that a few years ago, the daughter of one of the plaintiffs in the case discovered that the top secret document in the Reynolds case had been declassified, and she got a copy of it and found that it contained no secrets whatsoever.
Oh.
It just simply showed that the government had indeed been negligent. So the privilege itself is founded on a lie, which is kind of ironic.
And so this has been upheld essentially by precedent over the past 35, 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is the law professor talking. It's common law. It's not statutory. It's not set forth in the Constitution. It's a common law privilege that's been created by judicial decisions, starting in 52 and precedentially continuing up to the present day.
And so as an attorney confronting this and believing that it is being used as a smokescreen to prevent the release of politically embarrassing information as opposed to a legitimate claim of protecting secrets of the United States of America, what kind of strategies can you use to try to pierce this?
Well, we're at quite a disadvantage here because what the government can do and has done in our case is file documents in secret that we're not allowed to see.
Now, wait. I thought they were only allowed to do that at Gitmo.
No, they're allowed to do that in our case, too.
Wow.
And they have done it. They have filed hundreds of pages, we believe about 500 pages worth of secret documents, in the district court and again in the Ninth Circuit, purporting to show why litigation of our case would threaten national security. We were allowed to file a response, but...
A response to arguments you haven't even seen?
That is correct.
And right. So you've got to just keep poking in the dark.
Right.
Where
so
you
we
say,
can
well, only... if the government said this, our response is this. And if they said this, then we argue this.
Yes, that is correct. As incredible as that sounds, that is correct. We were allowed to file a response to their secret filings, but we were not allowed to see their secret filings. So we have no idea what's in there. This puts us, needless to say, at a huge disadvantage. What saves us, we believe, is the provisions of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act itself, which sets forth procedures whereby, if the trial judge wished, the trial judge could let us see the secret filings under orders that we not reveal them to anybody. For frankly, I don't believe we even need to see the secret filings. I believe that all we need is for the judge to look at the document that we have seen, and that in itself shows standing. But, it's a very strange situation. I have never litigated a case like this before where my opponent gets to file things in secret. I don't get to see them, but I do get to respond to them.
And yet you never know if your arguments prevail.
Correct. Well, this much we know. The Ninth Circuit said, you can look at the opinion if you want, they said, we can't go into the details because it's a secret. But we've looked at the documents, and we have concluded that there is a national security concern here.
Wow. This is bizarre and Twilight Zone material.
Right. I mean, how do you answer that?
Mike in Sacramento, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with attorney John Eisenberg.
Hi, Peter.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm listening.
John expressed the sentiment that he thought that it was ironic that the claim in Reynolds was based on a lie. And I just wanted to point out that I think it's ironic that the very same lying McCarthyite government that made that claim is the direct ancestor of this neo-McCarthyite lying government that we have now. So I don't find it ironic at all. I think it's basically a continuum, and I just welcome him down the bunny hole because everything has been turned on its head, and I just hope for the day when things will be righted again.
All right, Mike, you make a good point there. You have a reaction, John?
Yeah, I actually can draw another direct line to Richard Nixon. FISA itself was a reaction to abuses by the Nixon administration.
Right. They claimed they could cover up Watergate by blaming the CIA and saying we had to keep all this secret.
And then throughout the mid and latter part of the 1970s, there were all sorts of disclosures about how the Nixon administration had done a massive amount of surveillance of Americans without a warrant. So FISA was enacted in 1978 to put an end to that. The president we now suffer under has a new theory, which is that when it comes to national security, the president has the power to ignore an act of Congress, if he wishes. That actually, unsurprisingly, is not really his idea. It is Dick Cheney's idea.
Yeah.
It is Dick Cheney's idea because of what he saw happen in the mid-70s after the abuses of the Nixon administration, of which Dick Cheney was a member.
Yep.
So there's your direct link.
All right, Mike, thanks for raising that point. I got to run to a break right now. We'll continue with attorney John Eisenberg in just a moment. If you've got a question, call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 1-888-573-8372. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Now, everybody, let's take a look at the very latest, starting off with a problem being reported from CHP. Let's see, we update stuff here. And we did have a problem, our computers are acting crazy, to be honest with you. There we go, Marina, Southbound 14 Reservation Road. It is it's a coiled up rope, woohoo, in the lanes. Now, we have a little more serious problem in Monterey, Highway 1 northbound just after 218. An injury crash, two vehicles still in the left lane. Fire department crews are on scene, along with paramedics, obviously, because of those injuries in Aptos. Southbound 1 before Soquel Drive, we're getting word of a crash there. And it's a pickup truck spun out and then went into a ditch on the right shoulder, and CHP is, in fact, there. This report brought to you by Panasonic. Bring back family time. Panasonic wants to help unite your family. See if you can win $20,000 worth of Panasonic high definition.
The Peter B. Collins Show. Over at the NSA, they're really listening.
Hello. NSA. I just called you to say I love you.
I love you.
Because you really listen. Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone. Cause you're out there with your headphones.
That's my pal Roy Zimmerman, royzimmerman.com, if you want to check it out. The CD's called Faulty Intelligence, and he cruised up to Eureka with me on Friday, played during the show, and then did a great set on the stage there at the Eureka Theater after our live broadcast, and just about brought the house down. It was terrific. And if you ever need a copy of that, Attorney John Eisenberg, I'll be happy to get you one.
I would love to, actually. It's nice to know that people are listening to me.
Well, you know, you could put that on the hold circuit at your office. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you about this, because I have been so frustrated by the Democrats as they appear to be ready to paper over, once again, the intentional lawbreaking of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA law, by the Bush administration. And there was this half-baked legislation that got to the floor and was approved in early August. And now they are racing to try to fix that. But it doesn't look very good, because over on the Senate side, we have Dianne Feinstein and Jay Rockefeller, who appear to be wheeling and dealing with the White House in order to paper over the lawbreaking and grant immunity to the telephone companies that colluded with the lawbreakers in the Bush administration. And I'm wondering, first of all, what your reaction is, and secondly, on a legal basis, does the FISA amendment package that was passed in August, or the proposed language coming out of the Senate, would these undermine or eliminate your basis for legal claims against the NSA?
The short answer is, for my case, no. What the newspapers have been calling retroactive immunity has to do with the telecommunications companies and the lawsuits against them. The immunity provisions don't affect the Al-Haramain case, my case. So from my own personal perspective and on behalf of my clients, I'm not very concerned about what's happening in Congress right now with the FISA amendments. From a broader perspective, I find it very disturbing, particularly when Senator Feinstein and Senator Rockefeller appear to be giving in on the notion of retroactive immunity. It does set a terrible precedent. The telecoms knew, or certainly had reason to know, that what they were doing was illegal. And I don't think there's any good reason to give them immunity. There's a lot of jockeying going on right now politically within the House and the Senate with regard to retroactive immunity for the telecoms. There is also a fairly new move afoot in the offices of Senator Spector and Durbin and Kennedy to amend the provisions of FISA itself to make clear what we've been arguing in our case all along, that FISA displaces the state secrets privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know where that legislation is going to end up, if it's going to happen at all, but to me, that's a good sign. So I see a lot of mixed messages coming out of the Dems, the Democrats in Congress. On the one hand, some of them are doing some pretty bad things for the telecom litigation. On the other hand, others are doing some pretty good things just in terms of generally reining in the government with its with the state secrets privilege.
Well, I'm happy to hear you include Senator Spector in there, because he's got a whole lot of work to do to compensate for his sellout on confirmations of Supreme Court candidates and Judge Mukasey more recently to the Attorney General post, after he has said, you know, that he felt the courts would fix the bad legislation, particularly related to habeas corpus, that had come out of the Congress over the last few years.
Well, yes, I find Senator Spector to be a baffling character in this drama. He says a lot of really good things, and then he occasionally does some really bad things. And when he says the good things, I get very excited and I like him a lot. And when he does the bad things, I get very disappointed and feel like I've been a bit snookered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right now I'm hopeful.
Well, I'm glad we caught you on a hopeful day. So we've got about a minute remaining, John Eisenberg. Any other points that we haven't covered that you think are germane to this discussion?
Well, I guess the one point I would raise now is I wonder what the government's next move is in our case. As far as we're concerned, we're happy to go back to Judge Von Walker in the district court in San Francisco and litigate the question whether or not we may move forward in our case under FISA. The government might well ask the U.S. Supreme Court to take the case on that issue, and that remains to be seen. We'll know that within about 3 months.
All right. Well, we'll stay in touch, and feel free to call me. Just be careful when you leave a message, all right?
Okay. Nothing sensitive.
Very good. John Eisenberg, thank you for your court battles here.
Thanks for having me on the show.
We'll talk again soon. Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone with lots of room for your calls and comments. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Did you know there's some guys who said they had sex with Senator Larry Craig and he denies it all? We'll cover that and other subjects in the Free Speech Zone next hour right here.
The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration was adamant Iran was working on nuclear weapons and had to be stopped. But today, the White House released a new intelligence estimate saying the project has been on hold for years. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
With high confidence, U.S. intelligence now says that Iran halted its nuclear weapons program in 2003, though the White House kept saying the opposite. And National Security Advisor Steve Hadley stands by those assertions.
I don't think we were wrong about what it's doing or what its intentions were. Our concern was that they were pursuing a nuclear weapon.
But Hadley says the U.S. still has good reason to be worried that Iran wants to enrich uranium, the very technology needed to produce nuclear weapons. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Richard Haass of the Council on Foreign Relations says Iran could restart its nuclear weapons program at any time, but if it's been dormant for years, the situation is much less urgent.
The bottom line is it really extends the timeline. We no longer really have to worry about 2007, 2008, maybe even 2009. It moves this beyond this administration's time in office, essentially gives more time for diplomacy conceivably to work.
With just 3 weeks left before the holiday recess, President Bush has renewed pressure on Congress to approve new war funding and to put a Band-Aid on the alternative minimum tax.
Congress fails to act, as many as 25 million Americans would be subject to AMT. On average, these taxpayers, many of them middle-class families, would have to send an extra $2,000 to the IRS next April.
But if the president wants to get things done, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he'll have to be flexible.
Just as remarkable how unwilling he is to compromise on things that are good for his administration's country.
Democrats want to link war funding to a plan for withdrawal from Iraq. The weather's not letting up in the Northwest.
This is a bad situation, and it seems to be getting worse as time goes on.
Liz Anderson, an official in Grays Harbor County, Washington, where two people have died in the ferocious storm that's produced flooding, mudslides, and wind damage. Tens of thousands are without power. Some details of a plan to forestall foreclosures came out today. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has that.
According to Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, a mortgage relief plan could be announced by the end of the week, something to help head off foreclosures on lots of subprime loans that are due for upward adjustment next year.
The housing market downturn is the biggest challenge to our economy.
Paulson notes the impact of foreclosures spreads far beyond the families losing their homes. Part of the new effort will simply involve contacting delinquent borrowers early on. Half of foreclosures happen without the borrower ever talking to their lender first, something that could have produced a solution. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
In some cases, the rates on adjustable mortgages might be frozen so borrowers wouldn't be priced out of their homes. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 57 points, closing at 13,314. This is CBS News.
I found a note in a plastic bag.
No one knows who wrote it or who it was written to, but this simple note carries an extraordinary message that will change the lives of all who read it.
The most amazing thing just happened to me.
This holiday season, one woman will discover the magic of the note. Jeannie Francis and Ted McGinley star in the Hallmark Channel original movie, The Note. Premieres this Saturday night at 9, 8 Central, only on Hallmark Channel.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Giant leap for man.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
The best way to treat a kid's cough this winter? You might be surprised. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
With all the new warnings about children's cough medicines, doctors have been getting a lot of calls
from parents on what they can give kids this winter.
Penn State pediatrician Ian Paul, who helped expose safety problems in over-the-counter products, tested an old-fashioned alternative your grandma might have recommended. Honey.
In our comparison of honey, the common over-the-counter cough medicine dextromethorphan, and no treatment, honey yielded the best results.
In this study in the archives of pediatrics and adolescent medicine, kids 2 and over were given different doses depending on age just before bedtime. But Paul says honey can be used safely for coughs pretty much any time. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Every recruit at the New York City Police Academy now gets an iPod. It's not like a signing bonus. The iPods are fully loaded with course material, so recruits can study while they're going home on the subway. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
If your dog is healthy, I recommend you try Dynavite just to maintain your animal's health.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
There are enzymes in there, flax oil, omega-3s. It only took about a week, and her energy level increased dramatically.
We're on our third 5-pound pail, so I highly recommend it.
She loves Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
859-428-1000.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And welcome to the Free Speech Zone here for a Monday. Your calls and comments are welcome. I got lines open for you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. Senator Larry Craig is back in the news, and I'm going to do this in a slightly unusual way. First of all, we are going to cite for you the denials of Senator Craig, and then we'll cite for you what he is denying. All right? In an email message sent to the Associated Press on Sunday, Senator Craig said the latest accusations were, quote, completely false, and criticized the newspaper, the Idaho Statesman, as practicing careless journalism. Quote, it is unfortunate that the Idaho Statesman has chosen to continue to lower itself to the standards of what can best be described as tabloid journalism. Despite the fact that the Idaho Statesman has decided to pursue its own agenda and print these falsehoods without any facts to back them up, I won't let this paper's attempt to malign my name stop me from continuing my work to serve the people of Idaho with a wide stance. Oh, I added that last part. All right, so there you have the denials from Senator Craig. And let me just take a break, and then we'll return and cite for you the allegations published by the Idaho Statesman this weekend.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can. In as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN, no.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away, or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Four men have been named who claim they had sex with Senator Larry Craig. An additional four men who have not been named confided in the Idaho Statesman newspaper that they had either had male sex with Senator Craig or been subjected to advances by the senator. Now, one of them, to be fair, one of the unnamed alligators, goes back to Larry Craig's college days at the University of Idaho. So that one would be fair to call ancient history. But four men have stepped forward and permitted their names to be used. The best known is 50-year-old Mike Jones of Denver, who is a male escort, or as the British tabloids would call him, a rent boy, who is most widely known for his dalliances with Ted Haggard, the former reverend and leader of the New Life Church and a very influential evangelical in the first term of the Bush administration. So Mike Jones, along with David Phillips of Washington, D.C., Tom Russell of Utah, and Greg Ruth of Washington, they're all middle-aged men who have been quoted in the Idaho Statesman and used their names, saying that they had had gay sex or some sort of sexual encounter with Senator Larry Craig. The newspaper acknowledged that the article was not based on any definitive evidence, instead relying on he said accounts. An investigation including a review of background checks, travel, and property records found no evidence to disprove the accounts of the identified men. So that's what we know about Larry Craig. He remains a member of the United States Senate. The Ethics Committee has made no move to investigate him or censure him or try to move for his removal from the Senate. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how the Republicans play this out. Like to hear your thoughts about this. I've got lines available right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. Up first, we go to Sacramento, actually Davis, and Ron is on the line. Welcome, Ron, to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter. It's been a while since we've talked, actually. And it's just funny the way my work day works out. But I'm going to pass over the gay thing because it's just such a joke. Okay. I wonder what Freud would have to say in terms of, you know, anytime you're homophobic, the finger turns right back at the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans just seem to be loaded there.
Indeed.
But I want to address there's a couple of topics that we'll just touch on quickly. The idea of the immunity for the communications companies.
Mm-hmm.
Bush seems to be dilly-dallying. In other words, he hasn't issued an executive order, and people in Congress are talking about it, right? Is that my understanding?
Well, be a little...
Or is that the correct understanding, right?
Well, be a little clearer about the executive order. What are you referring to?
Well, to give immunity to the communications companies that were...
He doesn't have the authority to do that unilaterally. The Congress can pass legislation, and he can sign it, and then fail to issue a signing statement that overrides it, and then it would become law.
Right. Well, he has a habit of writing executive orders for anything, like, you know, let's attack the Martians. But, okay, now, if that is the case, and it goes into a statutory level, right,
mm-hmm.
then Congress is going to be staring directly at the Constitution, Section 9, Clause 3. It says, no ex post facto law shall be passed, period.
Interesting. Well, I don't know the exact manner in which the Senate language would grant this amnesty, and I don't know the legal mechanism that they would use. What you've just pointed out is a very important roadblock to them.
Well, in other words, they really have to wordsmith this baby. In other words, something happens, right? And there's no law regarding this something. It doesn't matter if it's a bad thing or a good thing or an irrelevant thing, but if there's no law regarding it whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
and it happened in the past, Congress cannot pass a law regarding that item that happened in the past.
All right.
But
if there is a law that was intentionally violated... I mean, I agree with you in a constitutional sense. I don't believe that Congress should have the authority to grant the type of immunity that is being proposed. And I don't know if...
No, I don't either. I think it's against the Constitution.
And so then it would become a matter of jamming this through, Bush signs it, people sue over it, and 6 or 8 years from now, the Supreme Court, packed by Bush, would take a look at this and either just refuse to hear it, or hear it in order to set a precedent to permit this kind of unconstitutional behavior to become law.
You know, one wonders, I mean, even privates going into the Army, I mean, millions of Americans over, let's say, a span of, I don't know, three to four years, swear to uphold the Constitution. They don't swear to uphold America, protect New York, they swear to uphold the Constitution, and that applies to every civil official in this country. And it's just, as far as the neocon's concerned, it's just a piece of paper, just a piece of trash.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terribly frightening because men give their lives to uphold this declaration, this constitution, this supreme law, and America just seems to be oblivious of it.
Mm-hmm. Are you trained in the law?
No, but I'm a constitution buff, and I sort of self-train myself, and so, you know, I've read papers here and there, and I've probably read the Constitution 100 times, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I get into it, and it's really, really interesting, because, for example, I can bring this up, like, the reason Bush wants to be a war president is because constitutionally, if there's a war declared, it's supposed to be declared by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
What it says, if you want to really drive a neocon crazy, just ask him, where in the Constitution does it say and how does it say the president is commander-in-chief? Does it, in fact, use that language? And they have to look at the Constitution, and the reality is it doesn't use that language. It uses the following. Section 2, Clause 1, the President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of these several states when called into the actual service. Now, the Congress does the calling. So you got two words there. You got shall and when.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Commander-in-Chief that stands. What we have on our hands now is a unitary executive that is set up by precedent, not by the Constitution. Yeah. Any good constitutional lawyer would nail Bush right today.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that plays into what we were discussing with Attorney John Eisenberg about this state secret privilege, which is not based on statute, but is based on precedent.
Right.
And is in many respects not fully tested. And I hope that at some point we'll be able to blow that one out of the water and establish that, as he pointed out, FISA appears to trump this claim, this precedential-based claim of state secret privilege, and I would love to see that fully litigated. Of course, then I fear that it goes to the Roberts Supreme Court.
Well, it's stacked. I mean, that's why everything is precedent. If you read the Constitution, I've even read where academics say the way the Constitution is approached now by lawyers and constitutional buffs is they don't really read the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on the precedents, and they focus on Supreme Court decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ron, I really appreciate your thoughtful call today, and hope you'll call
Absolutely.
Me again soon.
Thanks for hanging in there, buddy.
You bet. 888-5 Peter B. There's room for your call for the rest of this hour. We're just taking phone calls in the Free Speech Zone, 888-573-8372. You can comment on the NSA, on Larry Craig's partners who have come forward, or anything else that happens to be on your mind. And if you'll indulge me for a moment, I need a little tech support here because the PC, the computer that I use to play our bumper music, has been sending me alerts all day long saying that spyware, Trojans, and internet worms may have accessed my PC. And I want to know if this is just a come on to sell me some antiviral software or if I've got a real problem. The alerts keep coming on, and so I assume that this must be more than just a marketing scheme. But maybe somebody who knows more about computers and viruses than I do can help me out with that. 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. You can also send me email. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. Your call can be next here in the Free Speech Zone.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Let me welcome you, Planet Cruise.
It's the all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour at the Quumba Jazz Center this Friday, December 7th. I'm your humble host, Richard Stockton.
And I don't just sleep in my car. I wake up in the neighborhood of my choice.
We'll have comedian Andrew Norelli.
Don't turn the lights on. I was going to take her home.
The Planetoids, the Great Morgani, and Ukulele Dick.
Hi, Ukulele Dick.
Peter B. Collins. Dr. Rupert Opie, Phil the Security Guard, the Eclectic Company, the Outpatient Players with Simone Cox and sound effect master Sven Davis.
They let the players out.
Ron Wilson. The Planetoid Band, all comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. Karen Babbitt.
That's Friday, December 7th at the Columba. Be sure and buy your tickets early. That's at Gateway's Books, Streetlight Records.
Ooh, save $5.
That's Friday, December 7th, 8 o'clock at the Columba.
I got a ticket. I can walk in.
You, the planet crew.
You're going to laugh your glutes off.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
All right, let's hit it, folks. Time to talk about traffic, and we're going to tell you a little about Aptos right now. Southbound 1, before Soquel Drive, a pickup truck spun out and went off the roadway into a ditch. We do have CHP on unit on scene and a tow truck being called out there as well, trying to get that vehicle back up to the roadway. I want to talk about Gilroy, Highway 152 at Bloomfield. We have it's a Morin that's blocking one of the lanes. What the heck's a Morin? I have no idea. Salinas southbound 101 before Spence. We have a power pole down in the lanes, and it looks like eastbound 24 slow and go from Gilroy into Hollister. Southbound 1 is slow between Monterey and Carmel in stretches, but it moves pretty nicely for the most part. This report brought to you by Diet Right.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open for you in the free speed zone. 888-5 Peter B.
Walking, opening up highway. I saw above me, under the skyway. I saw below me, a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I won't be rambled and follow my footsteps. Sparkling sands of her diamond deserts, and all around me a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land.
My toll-free line is 888-5 Peter B. Steve was on the line from Sacramento with some spyware advice for me on my computer problem, but his line dropped. Steve, give me a call back. I need your help. Need to know if this is just a come-on to try to sell me some...
No.
Okay. Is that Dario in Sacramento?
Yep.
Dario, you're on the air. How about that?
Not bad.
Yeah? What's on your mind today, Dario?
I'd like you explain to me National Security Presidential Directive 51.
Well, I don't have it in front of me, but as I recall, Dario, this was signed by the president earlier this year, I think in May, and I think it laid out a plan for essentially martial law in this country, and the detention of certain people who, you know, step out of line. That's the basic outline of it.
Well, it sounds to me like the biggest power grab of all time.
Well, it's gotten too little publicity in the corporate media. We've talked about it. Tom Hartman has talked about it. And I have seen some coverage of it online at websites like truthout.org and rawstory.com. But in general, it has not been deemed very important by the corporate media.
Well, not the corporate, I'm sure.
Yeah. And if you tie it together with some of the other things that are going on, the no-bid contract to KBR to build detention centers along our borders, there are a lot of things to be concerned about. And I, as you know, I don't like to promote conspiracy theories or any kind of alarmist messages. At the same time, I like people to be aware, alert, and appropriately skeptical about some of the moves that have been made.
Well, I do have one more question.
All right.
The president keeps telling us he's keeping us safe. The borders are wide open. The coasts are wide open. And they only inspect about 10% of the containers coming in.
And the administration is proposing huge cutbacks in the budget for the Department of Homeland Security, including about $200 million for California. And this, of course, flies in the face of the fear-mongering that they do on a regular basis, that we're supposed to be, you know, huddled in the corner on our knees waiting for the next terrorist attack. And so it doesn't add up, and we're going to have to dig deeper to find out exactly what their intentions are. But he wants, you know, more money with no strings for Iraq and less money to protect America's shores. Now Steve is back from Sacramento. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. So, first of all, my bias is I'm a Mac guy, and I only use PCs under duress. But the PC that I use to play my bumper music here has been popping up messages about every 20 minutes saying that it has detected spyware or a Trojan or something like that. And I'm skeptical. I think this is just an effort to sell me some software, some antivirus software.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So how do I get rid of this thing?
Well, there's programs out there. As a matter of fact, you can get some free ones and not have to spend a dime. I'd suggest you go to a website called download.com.
Download, okay.
Look for a product called AdAware.
Mm-hmm.
Two words. You can download it for free. What you're seeing pop up on your computer there is called AdAware.
Mm-hmm.
It's advertisement aware. And for free, you can get rid of these things. If you have any further questions, our website goes into this in detail, absolutecomputer.biz. You should take care of your problem.
Okay, absolutecomputer.biz. I'm jotting that down.
We're in Sacramento, California.
Appreciate that. And listen, I swear on this copy of Penthouse Magazine here that I wasn't looking at porn. It got in there some other way.
I believe you.
All right. Thank you for the tech support live on the radio.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, good to hear from you, Steve. Lines are open if you want to join us, 888-5 Peter B. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about Death Squad Johnny Negroponte. That's ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Spyware detected, threats.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
From Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Doing
business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules. Any subject, any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B.
You can give me an hour, a loan and a bank. Pay all my tickets, wipe the slate.
That's right, young Bob.
Don't need nothing but a woman. Anytime I feel alone.
My favorite line in there is, tell me that a boatload of lawyers just sank. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to talk about John Negroponte, who is now our peacemaker in Baghdad. But first, a story broke this afternoon. You can find it on the New York Times website. And this is one of very serious concern, because it appears that our government has been suppressing important information regarding Iran and its desire to develop a nuclear bomb. There's a new national intelligence estimate which represents the consensus view of all 16 American spook agencies, and it says that Tehran is likely keeping its option open with respect to building a weapon, but that, quote, intelligence agencies do not know whether it currently intends to develop nuclear weapons. Now, this is so significant because we have heard the drumbeat over the past year and a half that Iran is evil, that Ahmadinejad wants to wipe Israel off the map, and that their desire to develop nuclear power plants and the ability to enrich uranium into nuclear fuel is a surreptitious program to develop a nuclear weapon. Now, I'm one of those people who believes that, like so many other countries, Iran would probably like to have a nuclear weapon. But that is very different from the way the Bush administration tries to show the, you know, or portray the intentions of the government of Iran, which, of course, they call a regime. We just got through to Rhys Ehrlich. His most recent book, of course, is called The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy in the Middle East Crisis. Thanks for being available today, Rhys. I wanted to get your comment on this.
Well, thank you, Peter. This release of this report is just a huge propaganda defeat for the White House and for the Bush administration. They've had this report since February, and they have sat on it. They sent it back for a rewrite, and they didn't like it, and they sent it back for another rewrite. And meanwhile, they were thumping the drums of war loudly, threatening to bomb Iran. They had the missiles and the ships in place to do it. We came very, very close to bombing Iran for no reason, for false reasons once again. And the fact that this was released indicates that there are the so-called realist faction within the White House, Condi Rice and Gates and so on, seem to be getting the upper hand for the moment, because they would have never allowed this to be released had they not figured that they're going to try more on the diplomatic track, at least for the moment.
Now, here's another quote from this. Again, this is a delayed or suppressed national intelligence estimate. Quote, they declare with high confidence that a military-run Iranian program intended to transform the raw material into a nuclear weapon has been shut down since 2003, and also says with high confidence that the halt was directed primarily in response to increasing international scrutiny and pressure. So
now, think about this. So the White House has had this information for 11 months. They're sitting on this information from their own intelligence agencies, which are not exactly far-left organizations Muslim terrorist organizations or something like that.
Right.
They're sitting on this information, and meanwhile, publicly, they're saying Ahmadinejad is an immediate threat. We have to bomb him. He's going to wipe out Israel because nuclear weapon, blah, 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 blah.
World War III.
Were conscious, intentional lying and misinformation sent out to the world, to the U.S. and to the world.
Well, now that we know they're not trying to develop a bomb, shouldn't we just bomb them?
Right. Well, that's I read one fascinating neocon in the Wall Street Journal op-ed pages who said that it's true Iran doesn't pose any actual threat to the United States, but we have to wage wars of discipline to teach them who the big power should be in the Middle East.
Wow.
At least that's a more forthright argument, which is we are the dominant imperial power, and we want to teach a lesson to anybody who challenges that. That's what it's all about anyway.
Yeah, Rhys Ehrlich is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, let me ask you to connect or reject connection of dots here on a couple of things. Last week, when the Annapolis Photo Op No Expectation Peace Conference got underway, we were talking with Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies. And she argued that the real underlying purpose of this is not so much trying to salvage a legacy for Bush and or Rice, but that this is a way to try to align people in the Middle East against Iran and try to build support for Cheney's intentions. Do you see that as one of the underlying motives, and is this now undermined by these new reports?
Yeah, that's definitely the line that's kind of spun out of Washington by the administration. Given the fact that it was a total failure to actually get anything going between the Israelis and the Palestinians, they're looking for some rationale to something to say that came out positive out of it. And so that's what they're saying. In fact, it's not building an alliance against Iran at all. All it did was get together a number of Arab countries who historically have been willing to negotiate, although they've been vilified by the U.S. and Israel, for example, Syria and Saudi Arabia. They've always been willing to negotiate a two-state solution and return of the Golan Heights and so on. So the fact that they attended doesn't mean that they were joining some kind of a pro-U.S. alliance against Iran. That's yet more myth-making spun out of the White House.
All right, now I need your help here, Reese, because now I'm reading a quote from Stephen Hadley, who is now the National Security Advisor to the President. And he's the one who appeared at a news conference to announce this national intelligence estimate. And you and I just discussed what it says. But his comments are like 180 degrees opposite. Hadley, quote, "It confirms that we were right to be worried about Iran seeking to develop nuclear weapons. It tells us that we have made progress in trying to ensure that this does not happen. But the intelligence also tells us that the risk of Iran acquiring a nuclear weapon remains a very serious problem." Now,
yes, and the Denver team actually really won the World Series. You know, hey, hello, you can say anything you want.
And here's,
that doesn't change reality.
Here's the coup de grace. There's another quote from Hadley. "The estimate offers grounds for hope that the problem can be solved diplomatically without the use of force, as the administration has been trying to do." Now, that last phrase, does that modify diplomatically or use of force?
Yeah, this is going from the World Series to the theater of the absurd. It's like, you know, hello, did anyone notice that they've been ranting and raving, threatening to bomb Iran for months now? No, I think what they're trying, here's what's going on, and this is the only way in which Hadley's statement makes any sense. The realists won this round. They are going to stop the rhetoric about bombing Iran and say at least that they want to go back to get UN sanctions and diplomatic efforts, etc., while cranking up every other illegal means of attacking Iran, including the covert war that the U.S. is currently waging by using certain Kurdish and Baluchi and other ethnic minorities.
The MEK.
MEK, etc.
Right.
So they're all in agreement on that. But they realize that they found absolutely no support anywhere in the world outside of Israel for bombing Iran. So, okay, given that you're going to kind of shift policies on this, at least for the moment, you release this report, which further strengthens your hand, and then you just make up stuff. It's the old defense, which we've discussed in the past, which is just kind of mumble about something and hope people don't notice. It's just, his statement is just a confabulation of the highest order.
So, Reese, as I take a look here, and, you know, I'm just an amateur armchair commentator on the left coast of these United States, but it appears to me that this does suggest that it will be extremely difficult politically for Bush and Cheney to justify a serious military assault on Iran. I don't rule it out because when we try to apply rational thought to these guys, we often are left flat-footed. But when you see the situation in Pakistan melting down, you see Turkey ignoring U.S. requests and deploying huge numbers of troops and making some aerial and ground incursions into Kurdish territory in northern Iraq. We are further losing whatever control we had of Afghanistan. The Taliban has resurged, and their efforts in Afghanistan as well as Pakistan present very serious challenges for Bush and Cheney with just a year left on the clock. Can we hope that this really is sealing off the potential for military action against Iran?
Well, I think it's a pretty big blow. And as I said at the beginning, I've been saying this now for a few weeks, that I've seen all kinds of indications coming out of Washington that they were backing off from the let's bomb Iran immediately rhetoric. And actually some people on the left have criticized me for that. But I think today shows that that was an accurate assessment. The only thing they can do sometime after the first of the year is to crank up the rhetoric again that Iran is responsible for killing many, many soldiers in Iraq.
Yeah.
And or stage an incident or take an existing incident where American soldiers are killed, blame it on the Iranians, and then use that as the excuse to bomb them. I think that's a possibility, and there are certainly people who would advocate that in the White House, but I think they're losing ground at the moment.
Yeah. Well, Reese, this is mildly encouraging. Thanks for your comments today.
Yes, be soberly optimistic. That's what I call myself.
Soberly optimistic.
That's right. Look soberly at the situation, but remember, the Bush administration is slowly crumbling.
Thank you, Reese.
Thank you, Peter.
Reese Ehrlich, again, his new book is The Iran Agenda, The Real Story of U.S. Policy and the Middle East Crisis.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran.
Yes, bomb, Iran.
Yeah, those terrorists never stop looking for ways to hurt our people, and neither do we. Back to your phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines open at 888-5. Peter B., maybe you want to comment on this new information about Iran. Roger in Capay, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Roger.
I think you know, this issue of when and where the president has the right to be commander-in-chief,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have the right to go against the Pentagon or, you know, our intelligence systems. So, for example, it doesn't make any difference what Britain says or Israel, or because people will tout Israel, say, as being the best intelligence system. But if our guys, you know, think that, for example, Iran is not a threat, the president cannot, you know, wrap up some kind of story and go against our own military's intuition.
Well, don't be so sure. I mean, in a logical world, you would be correct.
Well, that's the thing, is a question about it. You know, the difference between a logical world and a world that doesn't understand, you know, because he presents himself as he's the responsible for protecting the nation, and part of that responsibility allows him freedom of choice, but it doesn't. He has, the president is really an interfacing between the marshal or the military forces that are supposed to defend the United States and the Congress that has a responsibility to provide manpower, resources. So if our military actually thought that we were, say, in danger and we had to go to war,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what the president thought, if that was their sincere and honest evaluation, Congress has to provide that resources. It's an obligation. And here's why I say that. Remember, during the revolution that founded the nation, most people, the vast majority of people, did not support the revolutionary side. And so the people who freed the Americas, in a sense, from Britain in this case, but they were going to turn a nation over where people were going to vote for what to do to folks that they knew would not defend themselves. They would not, the majority of people in this country, I mean, not the Indians, but the people from across the Great Ponds,
mm-hmm.
if you were to ask them, should they form a draft? Should they defend the nation? They would start trying to do what they're doing now, hire mercenaries. So we have this strange situation where technically we only have 100,000 guys over there, but the reality is we have 200,000. Some of them are just being paid five times as much as the others. And it causes confusion because a lot of the, I would say the Democrats, they're not really warlike people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pelosi, Feinstein, these are not like what you'd call boots on the ground kind of folk.
Well, don't put Pelosi and Feinstein in the same breath.
Well, yeah, I know. I've got problems with those people too. I mean, it's a, you know what? Can I make a side comment about Feinstein and her loyalty to the Democratic Party?
How about if we do this, Roger? I've been listening to you, and I'm a little bit late for a break. But why don't you hold on? And when we come back, I'll have more time, and you can air that out.
I'll
okay?
hold on. Hey, thanks.
Great. Appreciate that. More with Roger in just a moment. You can join us, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. My personal email, peter@peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com. SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
All right, folks, let's take a look at our final traffic report of the night. And we start off with a problem. It is in Salinas, southbound 101 before Spence. Power pole down on the right shoulder, and looks like we have PG&E crews tending to that problem. Aptos, southbound 14 Soquel, pickup truck spun out and went into a ditch in the right shoulder. Crews have shut down the right lane to recover the vehicle. They have a tow truck on the scene to obviously bring the vehicle back up to the roadway. Gilroy, looks like westbound 152 just before. Oh, they're going to call this Bloomfield, a motorhome blocking the right lane. Salinas Corral, Dead Tierra at Highway 68. We have two cows walking in the lanes. And it looks like Castroville, an accident on the right shoulder, 183 at Bacon Station.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Thank the folks who have offered me tech support with my spyware and Trojans problem. Latest email came in from Jimmy the Geek. Thank you, Jimmy. With a step-by-step approach, he thinks it's all embedded in my computer, and we're going to try that right after the show, see if we can clear this situation up. Back to Roger, and my pronunciation's been corrected by Katrina. It's Cape, I'm sorry. I've never been to your valley. Is that south of Sacramento?
It's due west, about 40 miles or so. It's tucked, the hills going up to Cache Creek Casino, about 60 miles northeast of San Francisco.
Okay.
Just as you run into the base of the hills, Cape Hay is the entry.
All right, don't use casinos as a landmark, because I only go to the ones in Nevada where they actually have craps. That's what I like to play.
And I don't gamble.
I don't like to lose to slot machines.
Gamblers, we mark the cards.
So, Roger, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about Senator Feinstein. Go ahead.
Okay, Feinstein, I look at her as having achieved her status as a result of coalitions of convenience that were built in California, and they involved this Mexican, this Indian boy that ran for governor, and she went neutral on him and threw the governorship into Schwarzenegger's hands. And the thing is, there may be differences between the groups of people that she represents and the Mexican Indians here in the organizing. But there's a lot of other people that when that Mexican didn't get that governorship, a lot of people put decades of work in organizations, you know, they didn't obtain the position they should have had in the world. That they
well, but, Roger, when you talk about Cruz Bustamante, he was such a flawed character.
Who
had no, you know, the Democrats blundered badly because, first of all, they hunkered down behind Gray Davis after it became overwhelmingly apparent that he was dead. He was a dead duck. He was dead in the water. And I'm one of those people who was slow to respond because I was offended by the idea of the recall being used simply because he was unpopular. I really think that should be reserved for serious misdeeds in office and not simply employed a year after a re-election just because he was vulnerable in the polls. But that said, once the Democrats realized that the recall was going forward, they made a strategic blunder by putting all of their bets behind Cruz Bustamante. The guy was useless. And, when he ran for insurance commissioner last year, he told a flat-out lie on this radio program because I asked him if he had accepted any money from the insurance industry. And he said, oh, only a little, less than 5%. And the next day, his funding report came out, and it was 22% or 25%.
Whoa.
And so I did not vote for him for insurance commissioner, and I'm glad he's retired, and he's probably a greeter at a casino somewhere now. But I actually don't think it was Feinstein's fault. I think the state party leadership made a series of blunders about the recall. And the guy I wanted to run was not Cruz Bustamante. It was John Garamendi.
Interesting.
I thought if he had stepped up as the designated Democrat, that he actually might have had a shot against the unknown Schwarzenegger at that time.
Well, I was thinking it more from the point of view that Bustamante represented a large body of people. I thought that he held back a lot, for example, during the elections. It's almost like he became so concerned that he might say something wrong that he wouldn't be fooling. And he'd lock up. And I mean, if I had any reason for not wanting to support him, it would have been that, his lack of articulation when he had an opportunity.
Yeah.
For example, in the Russian elections, we see that with Kasparov. Man's a great chess player, but every time you see him talk, it's vitriol or it's excuse or something. It's not content. What about the future of Russia? I would have rather seen Bustamante expound more about the future of California, or the structure, instead of getting caught up in kind of cat-and-mouse games about
what's politically acceptable. What if we'd seen Garry Kasparov run against Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That might have been interesting. Hey. George Washington would have said.
Yeah.
He would have said that all the Germanic stock and their allies would have gone with Schwarzenegger because Schwarzenegger was Austrian. Washington thought that the Germans, they would either go with the Prussians or the Austrians. And I thought that was really interesting that Schwarzenegger was both a Austrian, and a lot of people that I thought were leftist all of a sudden voted for him.
Yeah. All right, Roger, I'm gonna jump here because I want to squeeze in one more story here before I run out of time.
Peter.
Good to hear from you today. So I mentioned Death Squad Johnny Negroponte. You know, he was in Central America in the Reagan administration and widely believed to control death squads there. And then he became the intelligence czar after serving a tour of duty as ambassador to Baghdad after Bremer. Then he stepped down from that, and now he is an alleged diplomat, the number two guy at the State Department. We just sent him to Pakistan to talk human rights with Musharraf and tell him to restore or to disband the state of emergency. And now he's in Baghdad, safely in the green zone, preaching peace to the Iraqis. Keep an eye on him, will you? I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening today. We're going to do this again tomorrow. Same time, same stations.
Happy trails.
And I hope you'll join me then.
Until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp. Used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants.
Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. If we were at the brink of war with Iran, we've just taken a giant step backward. A new U.S. intelligence estimate concludes that the Iranian nuclear weapons program has been dormant for 4 years. CBS News national security correspondent David Martin has more.
The president and vice president, whose warnings Iran must not be allowed to acquire nuclear weapons, gave rise to reports the U.S. was planning a preemptive strike. We're briefed on the new estimate last Wednesday. It presented what one official called new information that caused us to challenge our previous assessment. And today, the president's national security advisor significantly downgraded the chances of military action.
The estimate offers grounds for hope that the problem can be solved diplomatically without the use of force.
The intelligence estimate says if Iran were to resume work on a nuclear weapon, it could have one sometime early in the next decade. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
A powerful Pacific storm continues to batter the northwest with hurricane-force wind and torrential rain.
Everybody is being advised just to stay home and batten down the hatches and not go anywhere unessential.
Reporter Dave Wilkins of KXRO Radio in Grays Harbor County, Washington, where two deaths are blamed on the storm.
The sustained winds have been around 50 miles an hour. The highest gust recorded in this area has been over 80. We have power lines, power poles, debris, and trees down all over the place in the county. Numerous roads closed. We've also had some landslides because of the heavy rain.
Tens of thousands could be without power for days. Washington Governor Chris Gregoire has declared a statewide emergency. In New England, snowblowers are coping with the season's first big winter storm. It made travel hazardous, but it made ski resort operators very happy. They had a dismal season last year. The owner of one Vermont inn calls the snow white gold. Slain football star Sean Taylor was honored today at a funeral service attended by 3,000. CBS News correspondent Peter King was there.
Jesus!
There was music at a video salute, but it was the words that brought out the most emotion. Taylor's younger sister, Jasmine.
I never wanted you to leave, but my heart that loves you will always grieve. I'm waiting to see you again.